Why fight when? I'm Chris Foster. Fox News, President Trump and Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth announced this hour a decision on a contract for the next generation of Air Force fighter jets that replace Lockheed Martin's F-22 Raptors. Elon Musk's visit to the Pentagon today is about finding creative solutions to problems, says Pentagon spokesman Sean Parnell on Fox. Not a briefing on secret China war plans, as reported by the New York Times.
I see how hard he's working to implement the president's agenda and pursue peace through strength. This type of garbage from the New York Times undermines that process and undermines our mission.
Parnell speaking there about Secretary Hegseth. Musk's work for President Trump has more liberals getting rid of his company's cars this year and conservatives looking to buy.
Tesla cars from the model year 2017 or newer accounted for 1.4% of all the vehicles traded in until March 15th, which compares with just 0.4% in the period last year. Though analysts at TD Cowen tell Barron's, their research says if Tesla were to lose share in blue counties but gain in red, Tesla could actually net meaningful sales gains over time.
Fox's Jenny Casola. There's a D.C. federal court hearing today about the use of the Alien Enemies Act for deportations.
Judge James Boasberg will hear arguments this afternoon from the Justice Department and attorneys for migrants deported to El Salvador that the administration says are members of a Venezuelan gang. Boasberg has directed those deportation flights to be halted and questions if the administration ignored his previous ruling requiring aircraft to return to the U.S. President Trump has called for the judge's impeachment, calling him an activist who is looking for publicity.
It's Fox with Jared Halpern. Detained Columbia University protest leader Mahmoud Khalil appears in immigration court in Louisiana. A judge scheduling a fuller hearing for April 8th. Khalil's attorney asked for more time to review. The Homeland Security Department wanted the hearing sooner. America's listening to Fox News.
One in four Americans today are living with a disability. I'm one of them. I care deeply about creating a world we can all fully participate in, free from stigma, misperceptions, and barriers. And we've got a trusted ally on our side, an organization we can rely on, Easter Seals. Rooted in communities nationwide, Easter Seals helps empower millions of people, regardless of age or disability, through its life-changing services and powerful advocacy. Today and every day, Easter Seals is leading the way to full equity, inclusion, and access to healthcare, employment, and education for people with disabilities, families, and communities. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours.
Learn more and get involved at EasterSeals.com.
Good morning from the News 11 Information Desk. I'm Danielle Burke-North. An undocumented migrant was officially indicted. Border Patrol says 25-year-old George Fontes Garcia from Mexico was caught smuggling 8 illegal migrants by guiding them across a remote area of the United States-Mexico border in August of 2023. Welton Station agents arrested all but one of the illegal migrants in the desert south of Tacna, Arizona. The remaining illegal migrant was found dead shortly after due to excessive heat exposure. Garcia was indicted on 2 counts. And the city of Yuma is filing a complaint for the damages made at Smucker Park during construction. The complaint is directed toward Yuma County and the contractor responsible for the project. However, it has not been served yet, as all parties hope to resolve the issues. Join us on the TV side for News 11 every weekday at 5, 6, and 10 for all of your local news, weather, and sports. I'm Danielle Burke-North.
Sunny and warm weekend is coming with a high of 87 today, 54 overnight tonight, 88 and sunny on both Saturday and Sunday, low to mid-90s with sunshine early next week.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
We'll be right back. Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here with George Davis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management, our new name. Good morning, George.
Morning, Tom, and I'd appreciate you address me as senior, please.
Senior?
George Davis, senior.
Okay.
Like the commercial says on the...
We're going to get our commercials updated, so we're going to make sure it just says George Davis.
Come on, respect his age, man.
I'm going to be 60 this year, don't forget. Yeah, but big 6-0.
But a senior means that you have a son... And you're the dad. You don't have a son called George, right?
No, I do not.
It's a typo.
George Davis Sr. That's funny. So how you doing?
Good.
Yeah? Happy Friday?
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting time of year because taxes are creeping up. Everyone's getting, not excited, but, you know, a lot of times people are under the gun to get things done.
Mm-hmm.
In our world, there are certain things people might want to look at. The first one is making sure you get the correct 1099s and make sure you turn in all your 1099s if you're going to do your taxes. Some of the 1099s come out over time, so you might get one or two, and you think, oh, I got them, but that could become a third one.
Or correction, too. Some of them get corrected a little bit later.
Yeah. So nowadays, the way these companies are giving the 1099s out pretty late in the game, you're almost better off just waiting until the very end and double check you got everything and then, you know, have your tax preparer work on them because it's nothing worse to do your tax returns and then you get a corrected 1099 and then you got to redo it.
Yeah. Yeah. I got to cost you some money.
So a lot of people think like we work with Schwab and Fidelity. That's the statement, say Schwab and Fidelity. A lot of people think that, you know, the 1099s are done by them. And they messed it up or they should have not, you know, why is it being corrected? But really it's being corrected by the actual company. So if like GE puts out a dividend or something and they correct that, then Schwab has to correct it. Mm. So I think a lot of times those brokers, dealers get looked on as the, why, how come they can't get my 1099
yeah,
right?
Like they get blamed for it.
But it's really right. the product inside that's changing and they got to change the 1099. Mm.
Doesn't surprise me, though, Tom, with like an ETF or a mutual fund like a lot of people are in.
Uh-huh.
There's a lot of stocks in there. You know, it's a big basket diversified. So if you get something changed, I would think they'd have to change that, too.
Yeah.
So at least for the correction part.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Corrections maybe happen 10%, if that, but they do happen. So what else do you want people to look at before tax season, George?
Well, you can look at your deferral. Look and see how much you're going to owe in taxes. You know, you have up until April 15th to still contribute to your Roth or your IRA. And if you need to lower taxable income, you can still put into an IRA.
So funding your retirement accounts, IRA accounts.
Yeah. Roth's a big one, too. We're big proponents of a Roth IRA. So up until April 15th, you can put it in. And they what are they this year, $8,000?
Yep. If you're over 50,
yeah, so it's a pretty good amount. So make sure you get that taken care of.
What else can you fund before April 15th? I'm quizzing you here, George.
How about
George.
An HSA, health savings account?
That's right. The HSAs had to be funded by December 31st, but they changed that. So now you can fund them before April 15th.
Mm-hmm.
That's another product if you qualify for it. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anything else?
About qualified plans, not a 401k because that's a calendar year. Depends. I guess you could do profit sharing, things like that. But
yeah, some of the plans you now have until tax filing, so you can even go out to October 15th if you have to. So if you're a business owner and you're getting hit with some taxes, there might be some things you can do to defer, even though you're in 2025, but do it for 24.
Mm-hmm.
So,
any others?
Well, let's see what this time frame, beginning of 25, you probably want to make sure that you're maxing out if you're maxing out your 401ks, they increased it. So I would increase the amount you're withdrawing. So that way you don't have to do it at the end. And also they increase the HSAs. So if you're contributing to an HSA, you can bump it up for 2025. I don't know. I think that's about it.
Am I missing something? Good point. And they also have that super catch-up provision for people like me that are between 60 and 63 this year.
Super catch-up.
Yeah, the super catch up for your 401k, your qualified plan.
Yeah.
Because if you you're, can, if you you're can, under 50, you can contribute $23,500. If you're over 50, they have what's called a catch up provision. And that's an additional $7,500 for people that turn 50 or older.
So that's what, $31,000?
$31,000.
But then if you're between 60 and 62, they put another 63. There's another layer on there. It's an extra, like, isn't it like $11,000 or
$4,500.
Oh, $4,500, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
They added that one, Russ, in the SECURE Act to try to get people, especially
save
closer
more.
To retirement, be able to save more. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. You just have to turn 60 this year. Like, I'll be 60 in July. So I turned into HR, which is Sandy, and I turned in my 401k to increase it. So, otherwise you have to get halfway through the year.
So you're looking forward to retirement. You want to make sure you hit that scale.
I'm planning for it.
Yeah, you got the date down on paper yet? You got the date?
Yeah, you know the one thing? Let me ask you this, Russ, and tell me if I'm being selfish or my wife is. So
I ain't getting involved now, but go ahead.
Trouble there. She's 5 years younger than me.
Okay.
And she's at the school district. And she's not sure if she wants to continue to work if I retire.
Okay.
So I don't blame her.
No, I don't either.
But, she is five to 6 years younger.
Sure.
Five and a half.
Good for work, George.
I know. And it's they're Tom agrees with me. So.
But somebody's got to take care of you if you retire, so it'd be good if she takes off and does it.
It would be good.
Yeah.
It would be good.
So the answer is...
But one of us has to have health insurance, too.
Yeah.
That's
right.
65 for me. And I'm on hers at the school district, so if she quits, that's our big thing.
Is insurance.
A lot of people that run into that when we do the financial planning, they have to look at their
health
insurance.
You could pay up to $1,500, $2,000 a month, depending on.
I met a guy that's paying $2,600.
And you still have
family.
You still have kids at home.
Yes.
Okay, and that's another one for the insurance for the whole family. Yeah, it's a big deal.
I wouldn't retire until your last kid gets out of college, to be honest with you, George. How long is that?
Jack's going to be a freshman in high school.
Okay, so like
so you only got 8 years. You'll be
maybe 6 to 8 years.
6 to 8.
You'll be my age then and retire. See, you can hold out that long.
Yeah, look at you. You're young and spry.
I'm very young. Yeah. I'm only 6 to 8 years older than you.
Hey, speaking of retirement, when to retire, a lot of people, I find out, don't want to know the answer. Just like if you ask a room full of people and said, hey, we're going to take you to a cancer doctor and we're going to find out who has cancer. Like, that's anxiety, and a lot of people just don't want to do it.
Would be.
Well, a lot of times they do that with their retirement and their money. So then, they don't want to face the music. And sometimes they're in better position than they thought, or sometimes...
What do you mean? Give you a date? Like, say, look...
They just avoid... It's kind of like going to the dentist. You just keep avoiding it if you can because you're afraid of the outcome or what could happen.
Or you think maybe something is wrong and it's going to really come out.
Don't want to know the truth, and that's with their money and their retirement plan.
And their health,
Yeah. So speaking of when we do financial plans, because really a financial plan is a roadmap, taking everything in consideration, pension, Arizona retirement, rental income, whatever.
Social Security.
It can take inheritance. But basically, people that are underfunded, and believe it or not, they're more than you think. One of the things you can do is work partial. So you might retire at, 65, but you might work an extra 2 years part-time. And you start plugging in numbers of people working part time, and the numbers actually get you can get back on track part time. Mm-hmm. So in your case, maybe you don't retire, maybe you work part time.
Yeah, at Walmart.
Someone that has medical. but anyways, I got a stat here on people that are 65 and older that are retired all the states.
Uh-huh.
Now I won't give them all to you, but Arizona, if you're 65 and older. 20% still work part-time in Arizona.
65 or older?
Yep.
Okay.
In Florida is the least. It's 18%. And I think a lot of people that move to Florida probably have the means to do it financially, so it's probably more of a rich state. But the ones that are the worst are the ones in the East Coast, like Connecticut is like 30%.
Is that because of cost of living?
New Jersey's 33%. It's cost of living.
Okay.
So a lot of people are working past 65 part time.
So about 70% plus are usually retired after 65. I think that's a little bit of a high number.
This stat's just saying who's working part-time. It's 20%.
Okay.
But it also means that 20% are working full-time.
Yeah, I see.
So, I mean, it doesn't show the other side of the coin.
Yeah, okay.
But what it does show is, you don't feel bad if you have to work part-time for another 3 to 5 years if you're trying to hit your numbers for retirement.
Yeah.
So.
Especially if it's something you enjoy. Yeah, that's 50% of the
battle. I know a lot of retirees that work in nonprofits for free just to stay busy. They don't necessarily work for money. They work just to stay active.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of nonprofits, Tom, I just thought of one with your question about what to do before April 15th for taxes. Tax credits for the state of Arizona.
Public school, private school, one for nonprofit. You could do all those before. And really what it's going to do is you're going to stroke a check and give it to the organization, and then you're going to get it all credited back from state tax. So really what you're doing is taking the state, your state tax, and redirecting it, keeping it probably to people in Yuma if you're going to support the schools and the nonprofits. But we'll take our first break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
I got the dollar amount. Long ago, there's a calm
Investment Group Wealth Management. They believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors. Given recent events,
someone told me long ago, there's a calm before the storm. I know.
Welcome back, Yuma Money Talk, AM560 KBLU. I don't know if I like that song. There's a calm before the storm.
Yeah, there's a storm coming.
Yeah, I mean, sure looks like it. I don't doubt it. So, Tom, you were talking about some things that our listeners can do and investors can do to help with, now that it's tax time. And you talked about some charitable, Arizona State Tax Credit. You want to expand on that? There's like qualifying charitable organizations, for example, like Crossroads Mission, Food Bank, things like that, where you can contribute. If you're single, it actually went up. It's $470 now.
Okay.
Yeah. And then if you're married, 938.
Yeah. And it's not for any nonprofit. You have to be kind of qualified.
Yeah.
Usually it's working with people. So like the Humane Society, you can't give to them because they're animals.
Oh, the
so
humane, they won't do the humane? Okay.
You just have to be on a certain list of a nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think if you're like a nonprofit thrift store, I don't think so.
Amberley's
but if you're doing something with people, then usually you get the better end.
Yeah.
The food bank you can do, all the big food ones bank. In town you could do.
Yeah, if you get online and search it, they'll have a list of all of them throughout the whole state. So how about this one, Tom? You probably remember this one. You can do a tax credit for qualifying foster care charitable organizations.
Yeah.
So specifically for foster care. And that's $587 if you're single, $1,773 if you're married. So maybe you're passionate about foster care and giving to that charity. So that's another.
Even if you're not overly into one of these charities, the bottom line is you're giving it to the state, and there's a good chance of staying up in Maricopa somewhere. So you don't even have to have a huge passion. Just redirect the money, keep it local.
Yeah, good point. Public school, you can give it to the public school and get a tax credit there too. And that one is $400 if you're married, $200 for single. So So that's the public school district. Now, if you want to, like Jack's going to be at COFA, a freshman, and he'll probably be doing student council. So you can direct the funds to a certain department. You can't give them to a student, obviously. I mean, it's public school. But if you like culinary arts or music, band or something, yeah, you can do that. Then there's also the, what's the other one? The private schools. So credit schools, let's see. Yeah, this is private school tuition organizations.
It's so like 2,600 or something, is it?
731 for single, 1,459 for married. And then there's another one for the switch individual income tax credit. I'm not real familiar with that one. Are you? That's a a tuition organization, too. That's for private school tuitions.
Yeah. I think a switch is if you go from a public school to a private school, you get double. You can do another 1,700, right?
Yeah, you can. Well, you can do another basically 1,451, another 1,450. Yeah.
So between both of them, you can do about 2,800.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. So if you switch.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk about the economy a little bit because that's
what a lot of people want to know a little bit about that. Hey, I heard a pretty good quote on the. On a podcast, for investors, take the escalator up and the elevator down.
The elevator down, the escalator up?
Yeah.
Okay, so it goes up slowly, drops fast.
Yeah. I like that one. That was on Sonu and Dietrich.
Okay.
Yeah, facts versus feelings.
So the big thing is, you know, where is the economy going with the changeover of the new president and his cabinet? A lot of changes going on. You know, the GDP number has already got adjusted. It was about 2.5 or so, and now they're saying maybe 2, so it's adjusting down. And it's kind of a balancing act, and this is just my opinion, but I try to listen to people and figure it out. I was an econ major in college, so got a little edge over you, George. What was your major?
Mathematics.
Okay, yeah. You got an edge on math, but... So basically, with you know, they're cutting a lot of government jobs, right, through this DOGE program. Ultimately, that's a negative for the economy because then you got people that aren't spending money and don't have a job.
Even though it's government money, it's money, so it's GDP.
Yeah, it's bills. People will spend money. So that's a negative. The positive is by having these tariffs, it's forcing U.S. companies to come back to the United States or at least think about it. And there's a whole list of companies that have actually coming back. A lot of them are the auto companies. Apple, you know, said they were going to bring something, I think, $500 billion. So basically, by these companies bringing back production here in the United States, that's a positive because they're going to have to hire people.
Longer term. You don't see that immediately, right?
Yeah, but they're going to have to hire people. So that's a positive. So then if you do tariffs, too... A tariff indirectly is going to cause the prices to go up for everybody, even Americans, because a tariff just gets passed on to the consumer. So that's another negative. So now we got two negatives and one positive. You follow me, George?
I've got you. two negatives. So not looking so good so far. Okay.
Well, let's repeat. The two negatives, you got government employees getting laid off or let go.
So they're not putting in the economy.
Tariffs are going to be passed on to the consumer. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have a higher... products, so it's negative because that's sucking money out of people's pocket. The positive is production and industry is starting to come back to the United States, which should create more jobs over time, so that's a positive. Okay. Now, you know what the second positive is? And most people don't know this.
The decrease in the value of the dollar. Well, you're asking.
Do you want to explain that? Because, I mean, what you just said, that three-quarters probably don't know what you... So,
Well, the administration would like to see the dollar weaken because the dollar's been very strong. So then you get, you know, better prices for the goods.
You can export more.
Yeah. So
they also want to see interest rates come down because when rates come down, people can, not pay as much interest, but they can also usually borrow more. The cheaper the rate, the more you can borrow. So we didn't answer what I wanted, but. You know,
yeah, you like the answer though. You looked like you were like, oh well.
Yeah. I mean, it's a byproduct of something.
It is
a weak dollar
is
a byproduct because you can't just say I want. Like you can, you get rid of government employees. That's going to happen if you want to.
Government
tariffs are what the dollar is not subjective.
Right.
Could go up, could go down. It depends. I mean, you don't have control on that, basically. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Russ has his hand up, and I think he might know the answer.
I don't have the answer.
Okay, I thought maybe he did.
So, repeat the question again. So Russ, I'll bet Russ can get it.
So what is the administration doing that's going to have a positive effect on the economy, which is GDP, jobs, people spending money?
Yeah. Not me. I don't know.
Anybody?
Lower inflation.
Well, I heard this about 2 weeks ago, so it's not like everyone.
And gas prices.
Nope. Oh. So what they're going to do, is that going to start to deregulate the banks? Have you guys heard that?
Ah, yes, I have.
I had not heard that.
Yeah, and I heard it probably 2 weeks ago, and I usually listen to all this stuff. I'm a junkie guy. But anyways, what they're going to try to do is, what their claim is, Bank of America or Chase, which are huge banks, pretty much have the same ratio on how they borrow money than First Bank Yuma or local bank.
Okay.
So basically everyone's playing by the same rules. But the reality is, some banks are really heavy in treasuries. Other banks have like commercial paper. I mean, they all hold different kind of assets with the money. So what that talking about doing, and I'm not 100% on this, so if I say something wrong, but that talking about doing that, if you have treasuries, you could actually lend more on the ratio with the treasury, because the treasury is backed by the United States, so it's hopefully pretty strong. So basically, by changing the lending ratios, that means that banks can go out and lend more money. And if you lend more money, I mean, that's more circulation, more money in the system.
More M2.
And more building and more, you know, paying workers, and they spend the money.
And lower interest rates.
And lower interest rates. Yeah. So that's the thing. Like, the president technically has no control on the Fed, Powell.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he can't, you know, say raise rates, lower rates. But he does have control. If he can deregulate the banks, rates will go down. They're talking maybe between like 30 and 70 basis points. But that's still, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
And that means, you know, mortgages, house mortgages, probably more of those. So anyways, that's the, you know, so really what it is a balancing act, because they're doing things that are technically short-term negative for the economy, negative for GDP. But now they got to kind of balance out with the positive things, and hopefully, you know, the economy doesn't go into recession.
Mm-hmm. So is the regulation equal, Tom, like a big bank like a Chase and then a First Bank, Yuma, a community bank? It's more highly regulated on the bigger banks. Would that?
Well,
not necessarily.
I heard a podcast that said that they're pretty much treated equally.
Okay.
It doesn't mean they're 100%. But the point is that, you know, they're not equal because, you know, Chase is billions and billions and billions, which means the bigger something is, the higher the risk factor is, too.
Mm.
Like, if it falls, it's the elephant that's going to fall.
Yeah.
So they're going to say they're going to change same things that will make it easier for some smaller banks to lend more. And I think if you own treasuries, that should make it easier. Now, here's the weird thing. In the next 9 months, guess how much, let me see if I can remember, guess how much treasuries are coming due in the next 9 months? Meaning when a treasury comes due, they got to put it back to the market and have someone buy it.
Yep.
And sometimes the government actually buys it, which is kind of weird. But don't quote me on this, but I think there's like $15 trillion or some high number that's coming due in the next 9 months.
Oh.
So if they tell the banks, hey, own a treasury and you can lend more money on the ratio, what do you think banks are going to do?
Buy treasuries. Yeah.
Which is going to help that problem. Yeah. So the weirdest thing, I mean, being an econ, when rates are really low, you want to extend maturity for anything, your loans, everything. But what was weird is I forgot the lady who was in charge. They didn't extend any of their debt, which blows me away, because when rates were almost zero, they could have extended all that debt back to 30 years.
They being the federal government?
They're being the federal.
U.S. Treasury?
No, not the Treasury. Powell, what's his title?
Oh, Fed Chair.
Yeah, Fed Chair.
Mm-hmm.
The Treasury. It is
Treasury,
the Treasury,
okay,
yeah.
Yes.
But they could have extended all that. Mexico was smart enough to come up with a 100-year Treasury because they knew, like, rates are cheap.
Oh,
like,
good for Mexico.
Extend it out.
Yeah, really?
So someone completely dropped the ball on this.
Oh, wow.
And now they're going to have problems trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and, you know, when you have You know, you want this stuff.
That's interesting that you want this to come think of that. Well, they probably did, but no one ever did anything.
Well, you know why? You know what the answer is? Podcast told me.
Yeah.
Biden wanted to keep rates really, really low because it helps the economy in that.
Yeah.
So by extending things out, it would have caused rates to go up a little bit. So they think maybe he sacrificed short-term treasuries to keep rates low.
Political reasons.
I don't know. It's political. But he wants the political. He wants the economy to do better. So, you know, sacrifice.
Well, yeah, when you're in a re-election year, you want
short-term
the economy to do
or long-term. Yeah, but he, but
this was early
but they
on.
They did this like the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's almost like putting money away for retirement. Short-term gratification, long-term gratification.
Mm-hmm. Short-term pain.
Yeah, short-term pain for long-term gratification, or just get the short-term gratification and long-term pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about choices.
Yeah. So if I told you you were going to have a heart attack in 2 years, Tom, what would you do? I'd come back in time and I'd tell you, hey, man, you better be ready. 2 years until you have this heart attack.
I'd probably try to lose some weight and exercise all the things you're supposed to do, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's probably cheating.
Get some life insurance.
Yeah,
try to cheat the system and make my wife happy.
Yeah. But, I mean, if the government, if the GDP ends up being less than what we owe in interest, you know, that could happen in a couple of years. What are they going to do about it? Hopefully, finally something. So there's – and my point being, if you're going to have a heart attack in 2 years and you knew it, you'd go through some steps now. There'd be some pain. You know, you'd have to lose weight. You'd have
sure.
to eat less,
medicine,
you'd have to work
doctors,
out.
Whatever.
Yeah, but you would be – so, I mean, you know, looking and planning. You're talking about the Doge and things going on. I think it's – at least, whether you agree with the way they're doing it or not, it's about time. Clinton did a good job with balancing the budget. No one continued it. But now, you know, we got at least they're trying to balance the budget and cut the deficit and make it so that our GDP ends up surpassing the interest.
The biggest thing I think they're going to do that's going to be a game changer is they're going to bring up the technology in the government system. Even for like Social Security and things, the technology is way behind.
Oh, yeah. There's.
So, you know, that alone would create efficiency.
Mm-hmm. There's billions of dollars spent on a building that still runs off of these old computers.
And just issuing a check, you know, from the treasurer, like they didn't even have record of stuff. So technology, it's almost like the government did nothing for 25 years with our technology.
Yeah.
So
there was like a summit or a thing I saw with NVIDIA. The founder of NVIDIA.
Yeah.
There was some pretty amazing AI stuff on there. You had that robot come out and talk to it and tell it to go do these instructions. So, I mean, there's some things that are coming out for us. We'll see it, especially our kids. They're going to be pretty incredible.
Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, George Davis, Yuma and Imperial Valley Wealth Management. We're here just talking about whatever comes to our mind.
I was at the Jazz Fest last night. And
was that good?
It was good, yeah. The guy that was singing and doing the jazz, he was good.
Is that out by the Harkins, right?
Yeah, out by Harkins, uh-huh. Yeah, this guy had a really good voice.
You ever think about picking that up, George?
Man, singing, you mean?
When it comes to singing and music, Tom, it's not good. Not good at all, actually.
He probably was singing, just not loud enough to hear.
He played some songs there. Yeah, it was good. But anyway, I was talking to – we did a little talk at the beginning because we're a sponsor.
Yeah.
Enjoy that. But I always have to remember to tell myself, Yuma Imperial Valley Wealth Management now, because you're so used to over the years saying Yuma Investment Group.
Yeah. Oh, takes a minute.
Yeah. That's exciting having that office in Imperial Valley ready.
So hopefully we can give listeners some ideas that hopefully gets them in a better position, right? I mean, that would be ideal of why people would listen to us.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that I think people need to pay attention to is the international markets. The international markets, really the last 10 years, have extremely underperformed the U.S. markets. And it's almost to the point where people just forget about them. But a couple of things are happening that are pretty good. One is, you know, good chance the Ukraine war might be ending or there could be some kind of truce. So that's going to help Europe out. Sure, at some point Israel can't bomb anymore, so they're going to have to probably end that war, or, you know. That's going
to
be positive for the international markets. But the big positive is a lot of these countries are growing really fast and really good. And I got some stats here. So this is the GDP growth, which is gross domestic product from 2015 to 2025. And it shows who has the highest GDP, and then it shows what the percentage of change was from 2015 to 25. So guess what the number one country is with the highest GDP? Don't say anything, George.
Number one with the highest GDP?
Yeah.
Hmm.
This is a softball pitch, George.
Oh, is it really? Well, I'm not going to say China because I think that would be a foolish one because I know theirs is low right now. But you're talking about the whole 10 years?
I'm talking about all the countries that the biggest GDP.
Oh, with the United States.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I thought you meant international.
It's like pulling teeth.
Yeah,
come on. It's like international. I'm like, that's not international.
Maybe I have to get someone else in here. The whole world.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Anyways, United States in the last 10 years, 2015 to 25, are up 29% on their GDP number. So they went from 23 trillion to 30 trillion. Second is, I think you mentioned it.
India.
China.
Hey, you're trying to make Russ feel good, aren't you, George? Just keep missing him so you can look good. So they were up. Their percentage was up. Guess what percentage in?
18.
74%.
Oh, man.
So they went from 11 trillion to 19 trillion.
So this is dollar amount, not percentage, because that's a lot higher percentage
than us. Well, it is percentage. So from 11 trillion to 19 trillion is 74%.
What was our percent?
28.
Well, how is
23 to 30.
Yeah. How is 28? How is 28? 28 is less than 74.
I know, but that's just the change.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the full. It's just the change.
Full amount. All right.
Okay. The next big winner, which beat China percentage wise in their GDP change, was what country? I think you mentioned it again.
India.
So they went from 2.4 trillion to 4.3, which is a 77% increase. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is impressive.
And GDP wise, they're ranked. U.S. is number one, China is number two. Guess what number three and four is? You should know this, George, from history.
I should know this from history.
What's number three? GDP, the biggest GDP in the world.
UK or no, Russia.
Germany.
Okay.
You know that.
The fourth one, biggest GDP in the world is?
Does Asia count?
Yeah.
Well, you have to say the country. You can't just say Asia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll say Russia again.
Japan.
Oh, Japan.
Yeah. But,
interesting.
But Germany only went up 10% in that 10-year increase. Japan only went up 6%, so they're really, GDPs aren't growing much. The UK is number six. They beat out France, which is number seven. But they all have pretty low GDP growth, like 12%, 11%, 14%. The one that has a bigger growth down towards the bottom is Indonesia. They have a 51% growth.
Uh-huh.
But they went from 1 trillion to 1.5 trillion, so smaller numbers, but they grow a lot.
Anyone have negative over the 10 years?
No, because if you have negative over time, I think you're
dead in a recession for 2 years.
Venezuela.
Well, but the
maybe.
GDP would never go negative. The GDP would almost never go negative because there's always consumption.
No. The percentage.
Oh, the percentage. Yeah, no.
What's the lowest percentage growth?
The lowest is Brazil, 8%.
Okay.
And they have a weird government down there, so they probably got black. Hey, but anyways, the one that was a surprise or sleeper was up 59% in the GDP in that 10-year period. Starts with a T. I'll give you what country starts with a T.
And that was a sleeper?
Well, it grew a lot. I mean, Turkey.
Mm.
So Turkey's coming on the stage a little
Energy?
Bit. I'm not sure the reason why, but, I mean, sometimes you go to the stores, you see stuff made in Turkey.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Maybe they got cheap labor of that, but.
59%.
So anyways, I guess to get away from this, it's probably a good idea to start looking at some international stocks, my opinion. Because usually when they do come back, I think everyone's going to say like, oh, that went up a lot. Then the typical person's going to throw more money at it. They're going to wait till it goes up, wait till international funds go up like 20% or 30 or whatever. And then everyone's just going to be like a bunch of sheep just running towards it.
Mm-hmm.
So probably going to go up 2 years in a row, in my opinion, because people want to chase numbers. They don't want to get anything when it's not doing anything, but when it does something, the typical person thinks it's a good idea to chase numbers.
Yeah. So if I asked you, Tom, between now and the end of the year,
yeah.
U.S. stocks like the S&P, China, developed markets, or international, like developed markets versus emerging markets, which one was going to be the leader, like a China or a UK or U.S.?
China's started out huge. If you looked at a lot of those stocks year to date, they're up like 40%, some of the bigger ones. I would say for performance return, I would pick general Europe area. UK, France, Germany, like that whole area
for the Ukraine
war. Because I think
they're spulling up their war stuff.
Yeah,
be over, but they're going to keep building because they're so far.
Well, but they're going to increase spending too.
Yeah,
and rebuild. Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't realize this too, but when there's a big hurricane like in Florida that wipes out a whole neighborhood, the GDP numbers spike because everyone has to rebuild and that they have to go spend money.
But doesn't war cause that too?
Yeah, that's on my point. So So anyways, that would
be... But my point being, if you're not sure, because there's a lot of uncertainty out there, Carson's on their strategies are using more of a diversification tool, where maybe you're heavy U.S. in the past because like you're talking about, it's done real well. And now you diversify out. It's more important to add those internationals and the emerging markets.
Let someone else pick the countries is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, make sure you're part of the player. Whichever one does win, I don't know which one's going to win. You know, make sure you're playing all three of them.
Yeah.
So to add that.
That, Africa's actually becoming more of a player. I mean, they're, you know,
What part?
Not
like the Sudan. They had a negative growth.
Well, I know when there's war and people that are trying to, I mean, some of those countries are at internal war, right? Trying to knock off the other leader. But I think what I mean by that is I think their GDP numbers are starting to come, I mean, they're starting to produce things.
Mm-hmm.
And the cheap labor and, again, manufacturing. I just think they're becoming better, like from 10 years ago, that they're starting to have a mark. I don't know if you saw recently, but the Congo, I guess that's a country down there, they asked the United States for some support to keep the bad guys from taking it over.
Mm.
And for that, they would do some mineral mining for the U.S. So, you know, the U.S. wants these rare minerals. That's where they've been negotiating
with Ukraine.
But now the guy from Africa said, hey, we'll let you mine our minerals.
Come on down.
Keep the bad guys out of our country because there's a lot of group leaders that really, and there's a lot of them are Islam too, that are just go in and try to take over and wipe out a village or kill people. Yeah, so.
That mining that's real dangerous? The cobalt, like some of those, that's Africa,
that's
right?
That's why they use kids.
Yeah.
But I mean, had someone in there with the better technology and could maybe do some upgrades and other ideas, then I would think you could get it
safer. They started manufacturing batteries without cobalt because of the issue with the...
Yeah, that's horrible.
Yeah.
There's lithium's a big deal. Supposedly they have a lot of this stuff in the States.
It's all over the world.
But they don't, but you know, we don't want to mess up our mountains. And,
yeah, rare earth minerals just means there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a mine, though, that just, I mean, pretty much tears the earth apart?
Strip mine. They just dig everything up and filter it.
Looks like a big sand pile.
But they can put it right back.
Yeah. I don't think they can plant, maybe.
Mm.
But anyways, We're going to take another break here, and we'll be right back. This is Money Talk, 560 AM.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could stop a flower. Oh, but ain't that America for you and me? Ain't that America something to see, baby?"
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, George Davis here, talking about whatever hits our mind. So the other thing to think about was last year was a pretty good year, and this year started out, you know, got the bounce after the president got in.
Yeah.
But then we had from the high point, a lot of these markets dropped about 10%, mm-hmm. but from the high point.
Yeah.
So
a correction.
So people should still be ahead in the last 16 months, 17 months. So one of the things to do when you're ahead or the market has performed pretty well is to rebalance your portfolio. So that's something that people might think about. Now, I'll throw this question to you, George, and see if I know you can land it. Why would someone want to rebalance their portfolio? Like, what's the whole thought process behind rebalancing? What does it do?
Well, few reasons, Tom, but the one that really comes to mind for me.
Yeah, when you
is...
clear your throat, I could tell you're not sure, George. That's a good one.
I'm buying time here. I didn't do real well in the countries. I want to make sure I don't get retired early on purpose by Tom. Usually it's when the market does real well. So if you think of a pie, the pie chart and asset allocation, red being stocks, let's say you're 50-50, half stocks, half bonds to make the math easy. If the market does real well, that red piece will start growing and become more like a 60% because the stocks are outpacing bonds by far. So your portfolios get out of balance. Maybe you're like me getting, you know, closer to retirement and you don't want to be as aggressive as you are now. You could be more aggressive than you even know. Too much allocation to stocks. So you rebalance, you take profits, bank those and put them into maybe bucket one, which we call the bond or fixed income, so that way you're back into...
Your answer is probably right, George, but it's a long answer, and people are probably already lost. So let me give you the short answer.
Okay, so the pie with...
let me just make this simple, George. To make money, you want to buy low, sell high.
Is that how you do it?
Or you want to sell high...
After all this time.
Sell high and buy low, right? When it comes down to simplicity of making money.
Yeah.
So what does rebalancing do? What does it do?
Rebalancing means
makes you buy low and sell high.
Yeah.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
You spent how many years in college?
Should have said it. Yeah.
People, but it's not always that simple.
But think about it. Let's just say the market goes up 20%, bonds go up 5%. Yeah. So now the market, like you said, the portfolio is higher than where it was before.
So by
taking money out of the stock market, because that's a higher amount, and moving it back to bonds, you're selling high.
Mm-hmm.
And then if stocks go down and the bond side gets bigger, then you're taking money out of bonds, which are more stable, and you're buying back to the market,
which means
you're buying low.
Mm. So your winners, buy your losers.
Putting the dry powder.
So rebalancing is basically just an easy tactic to try to make more money.
Yeah. And if you rebalance, usually you're going to be rebalancing. Well, you should probably at least look at it at least once a year, but if sometimes sooner. But when you rebalance, usually you're doing it when the market's had a good run like last year in 2024. If you have an advisor you're meeting with.
Well, it's like, usually a good year or a bad year because you can rebalance in both scenarios.
Yeah, you could. But why would you rebalance in a bad year? To move on the bond side. Yeah. A lot of people don't think about that.
It's like a double-edged coin. You got to look at both. And you should be looking at this really on a quarterly basis, monthly, because there is opportunity out there. Like last year, July, the market in 1 month dropped close to about 10%.
Mm-hmm.
So that would have been a rebalancing thing, and then it went back and hit a high again. March, I think it dropped like 6%. So every 12 months, so there's usually a month or two that has a tough month. And like so far, March has been kind of a tough month. I mean, we got another week
left. Well, things happen quickly. How many days has it been since the high and then the correction happened? How many days, Tom, have passed? From the high down to the 10%
I mean, you're
low.
Talking like maybe 11 days or something?
16 days, yeah.
16 days.
Pretty fast.
Yeah. So, you don't want to... Again, some you know, make this your hobby, and you could probably do better at it. That's the other thing, because some people don't make it their hobby, so they just put it in a 401k, and they leave it there for 20 years.
So, it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. If people are still kind of worried about the market even dropping further, maybe, I mean, right now, if I take some of that bond money, it's hard to do. Grab some of the safe money and put it to work in the market right now.
Mentally,
I can do it with half.
Mentally hard to do.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I could do it with... A 25%, portion of it, 25% or 50%, and then if it does it again, then I do it with some more. Yeah. So it's not where I have to just grab all that dry powder and put it to work right now.
Hey, you mentioned dry powder a couple of times.
Yes.
Explain to the listeners what that is, George.
So the dry powder is, we kind of throw that term around, at least the office. I think you coined that phrase. Where
I call it bullets in the gun.
Bullets in the gun, yeah. So that's basically where you're taking your profits and you're kind of banking them. You're putting them into fixed income or cash. Dry powder, if you will, so it's ready, the bowl's ready to put into the chamber when things are right now.
Yeah, so it's safer money. Yep. It doesn't have to be all out of the stock market, but just more bonds, safer money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's money available to go back in and buy when the time comes.
Correct.
And, you know, it's nice to make money when the stock market goes up, but if you're all in the market and it drops a lot, you just sit there and either grind your teeth and wait for it to come back, which is never fun. Or you, at some point, get chicken, or you think it's going to go lower, and you get out. So that's probably the worst-case scenario for people. Because you almost have to be right twice. You have to know when to get out because the market's going to drop. But then you also have to know when to get back in. And I've seen people, by timing and luck, get out at the right time. But rarely I haven't seen them get back in at the right time.
Yeah.
Because human intuition is, well, let's just wait. It's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. And usually it gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Just like when the market drops in 16 days, like you said, 10%, usually the market goes up, it's usually pretty quick too.
It could be quick.
16, 20 days to go up.
Mm-hmm.
So by the time you think you got it figured out, you're halfway into those days, it's already moved.
Yeah. And the numbers are pretty incredible. If you miss the 10 best days, like because it goes up fast, it could be some really like 10 days. If you miss the 10 best days of the year, you're going to have a return of negative 2.6 compared to almost 9 to 10% positive.
Yeah.
It's like almost 12, 14% difference.
So what it means is your numbers get better by just being fully in the game in the stock market.
Fully in the game, yeah.
Yeah.
And doing the... Like we're talking about with the dry powder and the rebalancing also helps those numbers.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. So, you know, just like rules of chess or basketball or football, there's always rules. Sometimes just stick to the basics and you'll probably be 80% better. You can get more sophisticated and get more tricky with things, but really it's the basics that will help your money.
Yeah.
Buy low, sell high, rebalance.
Mm-hmm.
Pick up sectors that are out of favor today, and then they will eventually go back into favor.
Yeah.
Sectors that have really gone up, you know, some of the telecommunication sectors and that were up like, you know, 40% or some high number, you know, take some out of there, rebalance it back. So.
And if you like the AI story and technology, it was the big high flyers. You know, you always hear about the Magnificent Seven. Now they've really taken it on the chin. I think it was with Tesla's down 40%.
Yeah.
I'd much rather be a purchaser now than 40% ago. Just, you know, think about that.
So yeah.
You have an opportunity. And I always think of it as an opportunity. People get emotional and they get kind of scared right now of the uncertainty. And like you said, pulling out of the market, quit putting money into your 401k, which are the worst things we say to do. But longer term, the market historically will always bounce back from this, whether it's a month, whether it's six. But you do have some opportunity right now. You know, if I retire in 5 years, this could be a golden time for me.
Now, what, you know, Warren Buffett has a famous saying, when the market goes down, he says, buy when there's blood in the street.
Yeah, when there's blood in the street.
And basically what that means
is blood
slaughtered.
Yet, yeah.
slaughtered, I think that's the Tesla's on fire.
Slaughtered a bull and bear. But basically when everyone's running towards the exit, you want to be running the other way. Yeah. It's not easy either, it's mentally.
It's like the Marines, Tom. You know, here comes the storm, here comes the cavalry. Everybody's running away, but they're running towards it.
I like to say it's like sheep. People just follow the main sheep no matter what.
They're off the
all
cliff.
The way to the slaughter.
Oh.
Got to think about, you know, have a.
Well, the front of the Economist magazine has a torch flamethrower with Trump burning money. Have you seen that? Yeah, it's just, shoot, I guess. It's,
yeah, in short term, like, you know, they're
like,
kind of.
What?
They're kind of right. I mean, they're right because short term, it is going to affect the economy.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can spin a story either way. Mm-hmm. You know, long term, I think if these tariffs get worked out, we're going to be in a much better position. I mean, I don't know if you heard some of the numbers, like on the tariffs, like, you know, we're paying, with tariff, Indian stuff comes into us, it was 4%. We send stuff to India, it was like 35%.
Yeah.
And they had this like 25 years
ago. Some stuff's 100, 200%.
People forgot about it. I mean, they just, you know, left it as is. So anyways, but I know we're.
But you hear so much about the tariffs and all the negativity. So what are the positives of it? Getting more of a level trading playing field?
The positive for the United States is that we can compete at a better level. Because imagine if you and I are lifting weights and all of a sudden they're like, hey, we're going to see who's stronger. Oh, but by the way, I get a 50-pound advantage at all times.
Oh, yeah.
It's tougher to win, right?
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You know.
Or like golf.
Oh, you put a tariff on George? Is that what you said? Yeah.
Well, I've been cheating him out of the weight the whole time. So.
But in golf, we like handicaps, George. It lets us win some money. It's going to make us more competitive. Which means we can produce more things, hire more people,
more businesses
get our
coming
production
into the U.S. Like you said. So.
I mean, you know, that NAFTA thing. When they look back and analyze it, it sucked a lot of jobs down to Mexico and Canada. Mm. And who did that? What president?
No, that was Biden.
No,
NAFTA? Oh, Obama.
No, Bill Clinton.
Oh, Clinton did.
Yeah, that was when we were in
NAFTA?
College. Yeah, NAFTA.
Okay.
You know what that stands for?
No, I do not.
North America
Free Trade Agreement.
Come on, Georgie. Anyways, so we'll see how this whole thing shakes out. I think ultimately it could be things that moves are making now, especially with a lot of the people on the presidential staff are actually CEOs of companies. Like, I think we can get to a good spot here pretty quick. Even our deficit, they're explaining how to get rid of some of that.
Mm-hmm.
And creative ideas. I mean, one of them, pay $5 million, pass the check so that you.
The Trump card?
Yeah. But why not? I mean, you don't like that idea?
I mean, I guess $5 million. I mean, yeah, if people do it.
Well, they will do it.
Because they're going to get.
A lot of these countries have extremely rich people and extremely poor people.
Mm-hmm.
So naturally, the rich would take advantage.
Yeah,
but.
So you do like that, huh? The gold card is so common, he said it needs to be called something different. You know, they threw around the Trump card idea.
Platinum.
A lot of people aren't real happy about that, but it was a good name.
Well, one of the ideas that they had, I was listening to a podcast, is during COVID, I think we bought, $2 billion vaccines for the COVID?
Yeah.
And they knew the companies they were going to pick. I think they only picked three companies. Well, before that, they could have said, look, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make you guys the three companies. But give us some warrants on your stock. And basically, when that stock tripled, which they all did, the United States could have had part of that cashed out, put it in Social Security. So anyways, we're running out of time here. We're kind of rambling here, George. But anyways, we'll see you guys in a week or so. This is Money Talk, 5, 6 a.m. Everyone have a good weekend.
Enjoy March Madness. Go Wildcats.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.